Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Thank goodness it's folk. Sheffield Live's weekly folk programme, broadcasting to the world. With Sam Hindley and James Fagan. Every Friday at 10 a.m.
'Twas in the pleasant month of May, in the springtime of the year. It was down by yonder meadows, there runs a river clear. Look at those little fishes, see how they sport and play. Make many a lad and many a lass go therefore to make gay. Now in comes the jolly sizeman, the day for to mow down, with his good old leathern bottle and the bear that is brown. There's many of stout labouring men, go there their skill to try, for they cut, they smow, they lace, they glow, and the grass got very dry. Now in come the jolly sizeman with the pitchfork and the rake, and likewise black-eyed Susan, the hay all for to make. There's a long jog, jog, and sweet jog, and the nightingale did sing. From the morning till the evening, we went a-making. Now the day being almost over, and night was coming on, we laid among the cocks of hay till rising of the sun. Then the larks did sing most gloriously, in each harmless bird did sing. Then each lad he took his lassie, and they went a-making. There's many of stout labouring men go there their skill to try, for they cut, they slow, they slice, they glow, and the grass got very dry. Well, you'll repeat that. That's a little ditty.
Certainly is a little ditty, Sam Lana. What a lovely singer you were. Sam Lana from Norfolk, singing The Pleasant Month of May. To welcome you into May and back into the second half of this special episode of Thank Goodness It's Folk. If you're wondering where Sam is, Sam, not Sam Lana, but Sam Hindley, he is still in Spain, celebrating with friends and making music at Costa del Folk, I think, in Ibiza. And they do sometimes listen to the program with the Hindleys when they're over there. So a big hello to Sam and to Chris and Julie as well. And a big hello to you and all of my listeners over the last couple of weeks while Sam's been away. Really appreciated your company last week, and your response to the mandolin program was great. Haven't had any suggestions yet on what instrument I should do a special on next. But having spoken to Seb Stone about the Illan pipes, I have a hankering to do a special piping show. And speaking of piping, one of the key instruments in northern Spain, in Asturias and Galicia, the bagpipes, the gaita in Asturias. And I'm about to play you an interview that I did with two very good friends, one who lives in Sheffield, that is Michael Walsh, who is being sent to a festival we're about to find out more about by Sheffield University of Sheffield, where he is a PhD candidate, very close to finishing, and his specialty is the transverse wooden flute playing of Astorius, would you believe? So that is what we'll be talking to Michael about, and we'll be talking to the co-director of a new festival called Yartrad, spelt LLAR. This is an incredible new event celebrating traditional Asturian music in all its forms, and you can go. And to find out more about it, I'm about to talk to Bree Delian. But before we do that, let's hear the very first Asturian band I ever heard. They are called Felpayu. They'll be known to many of you, and they are extraordinary. So let's hear Felpayu, and then we'll talk to Bree and Michael about Yartrad, this festival at the end of June and beginning of July in Asturias, and why you might be interested in going along. Here are Felpayu.
Thank you.
The incredible sound of Fel Payu from Asturias, a band I absolutely adore ever since I first saw them many, many years ago, first in Jamboree in New South Wales and in Sydney as well. And I'm delighted today to be joined by two good friends, one in Sheffield and one in Asturias, Michael Walsh and Bree Dealey. And Bree is a good friend of mine from years ago in Australia, and we both met Asturian music at about the same time. And today Bree is here to tell us about a festival she's co-directing, a brand new incredibly exciting festival in Asturias happening from the 28th of June to the 1st of July. It's called the Yar Tradfest. That's double L-A-R Tradfest. It's a celebration of Asturian music, traditional music, involving 30 teachers, 6 countries, lots of music specialties, dance and singing. And Michael Walsh, my friend in Sheffield, has a long association with Asturian music too and an academic interest in it as well. And we'll hear from both of them shortly. But I'll start by saying good morning to Bree. Bree, you've taken on a huge task here, but it looks wonderful. Tell us about this Tradfest and how it started.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I guess it started more than 20 years ago with meeting Fel Payu, like you said. And it was that moment in Australia. I think they came into a session, 6 strapping men, you know, and very, very different, but having this connection to, I guess in that time it was more Irish and Scottish in Australia, and there was something incredibly similar but also very excitingly different in the music that, so you can feel home with it, but at the same time it's like this exotic sort of connection. And I remember they had such a huge impact in Australia in their tours. They were really, really well received, and actually meeting them and being invited to jump in a car with them and I think head to Jamboree. And I think I remember the first time they opened the door and there was the, you know, they were all singing, I think, the Buena Vista Social Club, and it was like this moment of, wow, where have I've come home. It was great.
And Bree, that meeting with those people and that music changed your life, really, didn't it?
It totally did, because I became their tour or their manager, Australian manager, for the next 2 tours. And I spent quite a lot of time, you know, obviously when you get to Australia, you can't just come for 1 or 2 concerts. So we would be 2 months touring in a van, you know, and going up and down the coast. And we did lots of regional areas as well. It was really exciting to actually go out into the different, you know, areas, as well as the big venues or the big festivals. And you have to get from A to Z in Australia. It's like 2-day drive to go anywhere. So why not put some concerts along the way? I think you know all about that, James.
Absolutely. Oh, it's a long time since I've toured in Australia. But Bree, you find yourself now in Asturias, don't you? You live there now.
Exactly. Yeah, I've moved here. So when I met Igor originally, they'd set up this record company called Tierra Discos, and they were very involved in the concept of trying to get young players in, you know, into the revival of Asturian music at that time. And we were in discussions about me coming over then to basically join up with them and work on the internationalization of the record company and the young bands. And him and Carlos were both producing and recording new music. And I guess a lot of people are aware of the tragedies that happened in that moment, where there was a car accident with the band going from one gig to another. And sadly, Igor and Carlos both passed in that accident, which was a huge blow for Asturian music, because they were both organizer profiles as well.
Right.
So, you know, in that sense, it was, you know, a loss of both the organizer, getting the young people involved, had all of that whole impetus that they had, as well as obviously the band and what that meant.
Bree, I guess I've never stopped to ask or to think about the impact of that accident, because Igor and Carlos were such hugely popular figures. I knew that the grief and the impact would be big on a personal level, but I don't suppose I've ever stopped to think what the impact might have been on the scene itself. And part of your brief with this festival is to you've used the word crisis in terms of the revival of Asturian music. Would you like to talk a little bit more about what the crisis is and what you're trying to do about it with your Asturian colleagues?
Yeah, so when I came here about 4 years ago, I had a couple of meetings with musicians, because at that point they're like, "Bree, can you help us? Because we're not getting the young people involved in the music." And it's for a number of, you know, many factors that are happening in Asturias. One is that there's not a lot of cultural support. I think we don't even have an arts council yet in Asturias. There are some grants for cultural initiatives, but there's not like a plan and a strategy on how to develop and how to work within those areas. A lot of the teachers or the professional musicians have become school teachers in the public system and out of teaching music.
Right.
Which has also been a huge change in sort of scene of the transfer of knowledge. But also I think because there isn't the same economic resources here, there hasn't been a lot of content creation. You know, you see the huge surge in learning music in other Celtic nations with the internet and videos. And so that because we haven't got that sort of financial capabilities here, there, you know, is very few bands with even recorded videos.
Yeah.
And it makes a huge difference in terms of how the youth are, you know, getting into actually seeing the music in the first place.
So, Bree, when you saw the extent of that
yes.
and what needed to be done, I guess there's part of you could be overwhelmed by that, but what you've done yeah. is actually do something, create something for musicians and for young people and for audiences. Tell us about the festival itself and how you think it's going to help address that. And then I might bring Michael in to talk about that as well.
So for us, one of our first objectives was knowledge transfer and building community. And I think, you know, to break the bridges between the different communities, because here as well, there's a lot of people working in individual councils or areas. So there could be dance groups that are regional to this area, pipers that are here. So we're really trying to create something that is cross platforms of all the different instruments. And that's why we have so many teachers, but it's also about developing something that we can all be together in the same village for 3 days. You know, imagine, you know, 4 nights of concerts where they're going to be very intimate at the same time. It seems like a big festival, but it's also quite small. So it's a micro event with a large amount of musicians and teachers involved. And so for us, it's the first step is that sharing what Asturian music is, mm-hmm. which is incredibly beautiful. And everyone's very proud of the heritage here and music and dance and singing. And the next thing is to invite people to come from other parts of the world to share what they know as well and mix together in a way that they can take tunes back, but we can also learn from them. So it's about opening ourselves to, we need help. What can we do? And by inviting that, is what's been absolutely incredible, like, you know, ringing Jean-Michel Veillon and Mike McGaudrick and players that and Josephine Marsh, who's just an amazing teacher. I mean, we've got some incredible international teachers as well as our amazing talent in Asturias that are coming to sort of join forces with us and potentially from this festival having talks, having a few, like, you know, think tanks and how what we can do together and developing some programs from that, which is what is going to be very exciting.
That is extremely exciting. Michael Walsh will be known to Sheffield musicians. He's a Manchester flute player originally in Irish style predominantly when I've heard you play, Michael, but you have a great interest in Asturian music as well. And in fact, you're doing a PhD on traditional Asturian music. Welcome to the program, first of all, Michael. It's been ages since we've spoken to you on the show. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bon dias, you might say in that Asturian. It's nice to see you. Hi, Bree, over in Asturias.
Hi.
This is incredibly exciting, isn't it? This tell me when you heard about Bree and her colleagues' plan for this festival. What was your reaction?
Well, very excited. A few months ago, Bree got in contact with me because she'd spoken to a number of other people who are on the advisory committee for YAR. YAR's also is a cultural development project, but it's also a wider environmental project. And a number of the people said, you need to speak to Michael Walsh because of my obsession. So Bree did. And I've got background in community development as well. I've led community development in rural and urban areas. So I'm bringing that to the party. So Bree got in contact. I've been doing for a long time a part-time PhD.
Yeah, at the University of Sheffield.
Looking at transverse wooden flute playing in the contemporary Asturian folk scene. And that's my interest in it. So Bree got in contact with me and said, can I pick your brain? What do you think? Could you help me make some contacts beyond Asturias?
Mm.
And that's how I got brought into it, which, and I'm delighted and honoured.
It's been amazing help. Thank you.
Thank you, Bree. So, and it also feels a little bit like the people in the stories have been so generous to me. They took me into their homes. They fed me. They've given me their inner brightest and darkest thoughts on the situation in the stories and flute playing and identity, because I talk about identity, national identity. I talk about the legacy of Franco, all those kind of things. And felt like I need to give something back.
Yeah.
So one of the things I'm doing as well is sharing my experience and letting Bree pick my brain. I'm also going to be presenting some of my research findings. So I'm coming to the end of the PhD. I've done my Viva. Hooray, passed it. But they said, go and fill the gaps in. So I'm filling some gaps in. but what I'll be doing, so why not, is I'll be chairing a round table, or co-chairing with some another historian flute player, and presenting some of my research findings. And not nervous at all, but it'll be largely all the people I've interviewed will be sat around there.
Incredible. Incredible.
So I'm really excited about that. And hopefully from it, as well as, like Bree said, this is like planting a seed. So get a discussion going about what's going on, about pedagogy, about performance, how Asturias and Asturian flute playing links in with a wider transnational scene as well, because the transverse wooden flute I look at, there's a whole load of connections in terms of style and aesthetics that they've borrowed, and also sort of inevitable to do with the type of flute. So it's looking at those commonalities, those differences, and how we can build on that for the future.
Great. Bree, tell us how the reaction has been amongst Asturian people to the festival.
Yeah, like Michael said, the Asturian people are so warm, and they, if anyone's there to just be part of the community and to sort of, like, I'm seeing myself more like a spearhead, but we're also, I've got an amazing director beside me, Rodrigo Joglar, who's a pedagogic trained, he's also a Gaita teacher. And then we've got a whole group of volunteers behind us as well. But really we're working for the musicians, and we're working for to try to get this happening to a point where we can stand back a bit and let it evolve itself. It is a musical association. It's not a private organised event. And it's all been run by volunteers, including myself and Rodrigo, for the last year and a half. And we really have addressed this in, you know, spent the first year writing actually documents on, you know, how we could have the most impact, what it meant, what we could do, and to really understand the issues before making any sort of start. But like you said, action has to happen. And I think a lot of people can talk about things, and so we're really excited to be doing something.
Absolutely.
And that's it. You know, it's the first small step, but the welcome, the response, the you know, the amount of people already booking the courses, people are just thanking you constantly as well. I think there's such a warmth here.
Oh, that's fantastic. We'll have a bit more Asturian music now, if we may. This is a track you've chosen, but Michael, you know this band as well. Tell us about this band, who we going to hear now.
Twenda Trio. This has been one of my focuses as well. So Twenda Trio, Pepin de Munyalen. Pepin is, it means Pepin from the small little village of Munyalen. And he's the transverse wooden flute player. It's also Jose Ambas, or Ambas as it's called. Ambas is where he's from. So this is the thing, people in stories that get named by their village or place, especially if they're living in urban areas. And then the late great Elias Garcia, the bouzouki player who passed away and has had such a great influence on people. So it's a song in Asturian with flute, and if you have a listen to, you'll see some of the similarities. If you listen to the flute, you'll see some of the similarities in terms of ornamentation that you see in music from other Celtic countries. So it's
lovely.
A fascinating piece of music.
Thanks, Michael.
Estamos a todos los de esta boda, al padrín y a madrina, al señor novio y a novia. A
al padrín y a madrina, al señor novio y a novia. Dígame, señor padrín, el dos anillos de oro, se pura y que íbamos bien a casa del señor novio. Se pura y que íbamos bien a casa del señor novio. Tus padres, casa de las cuatro esquinas, que para ti se acabaron las entradas y las salidas. Que para ti se acabaron las entradas y las salidas.
Three absolutely beautiful choice from Michael Walsh, one of my two guests today, talking about the Ya or La festival. Is it a Ya or a La, Michael?
I would say Ya, but I'm not. You see that? Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be a bit like asking an Irish person to pronounce a particular word.
It okay.
might be said a number of different ways in different areas.
Well, you're more of an authority than me, so your word is good enough for me today. Michael, Asturias is famous as well as for its smiling faces and friendly welcomes. It's famous for food and drink. You must be looking forward to the other cultural aspects of your trip.
Yes, I'm going early and staying longer, but I know Brie could tell you a little bit more about the food. We're in the mountains of Pola de Somiedo. It's a biosphere. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. Seriously, there's bears and eagles, and it's wow. And we won't be eating them though.
No.
Brie might want to talk a little bit about the food that's unavailable. I love the fabada, the cheese, but you talk about that.
Exactly. I mean, you'll be in for a surprise, but it's a lot of, you know, home. Even the restaurants are really home cooking. So you sort of go in and it's very cozy. It's very warm food. It's very filling, very large portions.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, I hope don't eat too much between classes.
The students. And I hear there's vegetarian and vegan options, which is
excellent.
Important, for particularly for outsiders. Maybe not
gluten-free even. We're going all in for the dietary requirements.
Good on you. Michael, you were mentioning beginners welcome in the sessions, and what should they bring along?
Right, okay, so there's good, the sessions, there's going to be a slow session, which I'll be involved in one of them, to give everyone a chance to have a go at the tunes that they've been learning over the weekend. In the masterclasses, don't let masterclass put you off. There will be masterclasses because you're dealing with some of the best flute players in the Celtic world, if you want to use that term. But so there will be top end, like professional level people coming from Asturias as well, who will be getting involved and learning from the other musicians, but also beginners welcome too. So you'll be swapping around each of the teachers, and that they'll be able to facilitate all levels. I'll be hanging around sort of making tea and helping out if people are struggling a little bit in terms of the instrument. If you're looking at flute playing, don't worry. If you, what we call a D flute or an Irish flute, that's absolutely fine. You might, if you listen to story music, you tend to get people using an E flat flute and an F flute and a C flute, and that's related to guitar pipes and pitches. But come and talk to me about that when I'm in Asturias. But yeah, D flute or a tin whistle is absolutely fine.
Fantastic.
A £5 tin whistle.
Bree, I'm sure you've done a lot to spread the word about this locally around in Asturias. Is it still possible for people listening here in Sheffield and indeed in the UK generally to come across this year?
Yeah, absolutely. We welcome you. We've got we've reserved heaps of accommodation, and in fact, we even have hostel accommodation available if people are students. We have family packs, and we have a kids class as well, which is about engendering curiosity and joy. And the kids will be learning song and dance and composition in nature, because we're, like Michael said, we're in the middle of this incredible views. You would not believe what that little village is.
Wow.
The idea is that everything's in walking distance. Mm. So within the days that you're there, it's very immersive. You'll be able to move between the different classes, concerts, slow sessions and sessions. And we have classes in accordion, flute, guitar and bouzouki, low whistle, gaita or bagpipes. We actually are having Finn Moore coming from Scotland as well, for people who may in the UK may know his style. Our fiddle classes are amazing. We've got, you can look on the website for the teachers, but there's five incredible teachers from Asturias and abroad. Accordion, button accordion and diatonic accordion, and we're going to mix the classes and do things like harmonic arrangements and things that accordion players will not have actually had an opportunity to learn. And again, you can bring your normal, BC or C-sharp D accordion. So it's really, and then there's for people that have got no experience in anything, come in and join the dance class. It's absolutely fun. All the singing classes, and and they're all going to involve pandereta, which is Asturian rhythm. And we start the day every morning with Asturian rhythm and movement. So this is to really understand what is the difference between Asturian music and Irish music. What's a muñeira? What's a jig? Where is the beat change? How is that? How does that relate? And once it's in the body, it becomes a lot easier to translate that through. And so it's just going to be. And then Saturday night is a Nuecha Andante, which is also pretty interesting for people that have not experienced this type of Atlantic art culture. I think probably people have been to Cayley's and different things in the UK. But this is going to have dance from Brittany. Obviously, we have a great Breton component coming out, dancing from Galicia and Asturias as well. So it's going to have like this really cross-sectional sort of look at the different Celtic components.
Bree, it sounds amazing, and I know it's going to be a success this year. I know it's a lot of hard work as well, but I think the only problem you're going to have in the future is numbers, because people, if this goes like you're describing it, I think people are going to be wanting to come from all over the world to this event, and I think it's an incredible thing that you're doing with your friends for Asturian culture and for the music of that part of the world generally, and forging those stronger connections. And Michael, I think it's really lovely that you're throwing yourself in. I know you're very busy as well, finishing a PhD and with family and everything else and work, but it's just great, because that's what these things are built on. They're built on goodwill and on sharing, and that's what that's every person I've ever met from Asturias has had that vibe from them. And so congratulations to both of you, even before the event, on on putting the hard work in. And I really look forward to coming one day with Nancy and the kids. It sounds incredibly family friendly as well. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to be there with you in the future. So have a great time this year at the festival. People, you can look up yarfolk.com. It is spelled LLAR. folk.com, and I'll put a link to that on the Thank Goodness It's Folk website as well. Get involved if you haven't got plans for that weekend. It sounds like an incredible place to be. Bree, one of the objectives is to bring different styles of Asturian music and different approaches into one, and the last track you've chosen to round out the interview is a good example of that. Can you tell us about this before we say goodbye for today?
So this is from Erba Mora, and Maria Vasquez, she's singing in this group, and she's singing and playing the pandereta, which is lovely. And she's one of the dance instructors, because the dancers use the pandereta, which is what we would know as a tambourine, but as a sort of a rhythmic base to a lot of the singing and dancing. So, and this part of Asturias is going incredibly strong. So it's really exciting to come along and witness this growth, because it is so much fun, and you'll hear it here. So this track is called Amanecer de Nuevo.
Brilliant. Thanks, Bree. Thanks, Michael. Thanks for being on Thank Goodness It's Folk.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Compañerina del alma, compañerina del alma, qué pena será de qué. Qué pena será de aquel que tiene el agua ante los labios y ya no la puede beber. Ay de mí que nunca quisiste. Staring at the ground, he's looking for the reason.
you can be a gambler who never drew a hand. You can be a sailor who never left China. You can be Lord Jesus, all the world will understand. Down where the drunkard
is one of the great records, isn't it? That is from I Want to See the Bright Lights Tonight, 50 years old this week, and massive, massive respect to Linda and Richard Thompson for making that fabulous record. Down Where the Drunkards Roll, one of Linda's best vocals, and a song that we love to sing as well. We'll be singing it this weekend, led by Mike Wilson, when Melrose Quartet and the Wilsons come together at Upton-upon-Severn Folk Festival. To be the Melsons, an act I hope you get to see this year. We're at Sidmouth Folk Festival as well, Cleckheaton Folk Festival, and a few others between. And then we have a big gig up in Annick in November. If you look at Annick Playhouse, you'll see the Melsons are on up there as well. So get your tickets. Here's June Tabor, because it's never not a good time to play June Tabor.
Was in the mall of sweet July, before the sun had pierced the sky, down between two rigs of rye, I heard two lovers talking. Says he, lassie, I must away, along with you I cannot stay, but I've a word or two to say. If you've the time to listen, you, your father, he takes great care. Your mother combs your yellow hair. Your sisters say that you get no share if you follow me, a stranger. My father may fret, I and my mother frown. My sisters too I do disown. If they were all dead and below the ground, I would follow you, a stranger. Oh, lassie, lassie, your portion small. Perhaps it may be null at all. You're not a match for me at all. So go and wed with some other. Lassie's courage began to fail. Her rosy cheeks grew wan and pale, and the tears come trickling down like hail, or a heavy shower in the summer. This lad, he being of courage fine, he's dried her tears and he's kissed her eyes. Says, weep no more, lass, you shall be mine. Oh, I sold it all to try you. This couple they are married now, and they have bairnies one and two, and they live in Breehill the winter through. I and in Montrose in the summer.
In London town, the finest ever seen. I have some in Swansea and some in Aberdeen, and they're all the labour through and through. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Going to see this battle through, for we'll have a mayday then. We'll have a mayday, my oh my, we'll have a mayday then. We'll have a mayday, my, oh, we'll have a mayday then. Back in 45 they marched from Barracaroom and Mill, determined they would see a change, for they had had their fill. From kitchen sink and coalface came every labour man and dame. Shortly we'll be doing the same, for we'll have a mayday then. We'll have a mayday, my oh my, we'll have a mayday then. We'll have a mayday, my, oh we'll have a mayday then. Our fathers fought this fight before, thought that they had won. You should have seen the Boston Green, how that man could run. But when our fathers turned their backs, he came again to dodge his tax. The next time we'll not be so lax. We'll have a mayday then. We'll have a mayday, my oh my. We'll have a mayday then. We'll have a mayday, my oh my. Oh, we'll have a mayday then. For they never ever
satisfied with the millions they have made. But yet they think that you and I are grossly overpaid. There's nothing that they wouldn't steal. They even grudge your kids a meal. Very soon you'll hear them squeal, we'll have a mayday then. We'll have a mayday, my oh my, we'll have a mayday then. We'll have a mayday, my oh my, oh we'll have a mayday then. We'll sound the jubilation, the great brass band you'll hear. March on in triumph to the future with a cheer. And as we greet the newborn day, the piper he'll have a tune to play. A lament for the sharks that are on their way, for we'll have a mayday then. We'll have a mayday, my oh my, we'll have a mayday then. We'll have a mayday, my oh my, oh we'll have a mayday.
The wonderful Pete Coe from his 1997 record, Long Company, with We'll Have a Mayday Then. A very special record was released on Mayday, and I'd like to play another track from it now. We played it a few weeks ago. It's Miranda Rutter with her beautiful album, inspired by her close listening to and playing with birds in her local area, bird songs which have inspired her, and she has learnt phrases directly from bird song and made tunes from them. It's a beautiful record, and I really hope you've already got a copy, or you can look it up, Bird Tunes by Miranda Rutter. And I'd like to dedicate this one to my sister Kate, my darling sister Kate. I miss you very much, and can't wait to see you as soon as we can get together again. But in the meantime, Kate, a fellow lover of birdsong, something we got from my mum and your mum, Margaret Fagan, here is the Blackbird Schottische, wishing you a happy birthday and wishing everybody a happy May. Thank you.
Thank you ever so much for your company here with me today, welcoming in the May here on Sheffield Live's Thank Goodness It's Folk. The whole show, as you know, is available as a podcast on Mixcloud, and we really appreciate you listening. It's a labour of love, this program, and all we get back from it really is the satisfaction of knowing that we're bringing you good music and improving your day in some way. So let us know if you've heard the show. You can contact me or Sam on Thank Goodness It's Folk's Facebook page. Or leave us a message on the Mixcloud page. I'm going to leave you with some absolutely beautiful improvised music now, which was sent to me by my friend Joe Veal, who asked me to tell you about a gig she's doing with the Emergence Collective. They are a wonderful group of musicians who get together to make improvised music, and it's lovely. It crosses all sorts of genres, and there is definitely some folk flavour in the mix. And you can see them performing very soon in Sheffield. Let me tell you when you can see them. They have a gig on the 10th of May, and that is going to be happening at the Drama Studio at the University of Sheffield, and tickets are available. So why don't you get along to that lovely converted church theatre for an in-the-round performance with the Emergence Collective on the 10th of May. Here they are from their album Fly Tower. I hope you have a wonderful summer. I hope this is the opening of a great season for you all. And if you're on the other side of the world, I hope that your winter treats you kindly. Back with more next week with Sam Hindley.